Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Check out the new Donegal Portland Leisurewear range online and in store at michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's programme, I'll be joined by Martin McHugh to look ahead to the Ulster Championship quarterfinals this weekend, where Donegal, of course, play Derry on Sunday. But before that, Tyrone take on Cavan on Saturday. On the soccer front, Ethan Boyle joins us to talk about Fan Harps as they look for their first 1-6 games against Waterford tomorrow night. While Gavin Cullen of Coghill Celtic and Jason Gibson of Bunnigie United will discuss their upcoming FAI Cup qualifiers on Saturday against Leinster Senior League opposition. While in our Olympic preview, we speak to our full man Daniel McGee, who is Badminton Ireland's High Performance Director and who is also the team lead for Tokyo. We're going to start with soccer. Fan Harps and Derry City both back in action tomorrow night in the Premier Division of the League of Ireland. Derry are away to St Patrick's Athletic at Richmond Park. Derry, of course, picked up their first home win of the season last weekend, while St Pat's know going into the game, if they take victory, they will rejoin Sligo and Shamrock Rovers back at the top of the table. At 5:45, Fan Harps will kick off against Waterford at Finn Park tomorrow night. Harps, of course, have already beaten Waterford twice this season, but a victory against them tomorrow could prove to be the most important win of the year. 3 points at Finn Park for the home side would open up the gap to the bottom two to 10 points and could also reduce the distance to the sides above them. It's been 6 games without a win for Harps, but former Waterford player, now with Fan Harps, Ethan Boyle, told Jeremy Doherty they can bounce back with a win come Friday.
One of the positives we can take going into it. We've two wins against them already, but they weren't easy wins. We made hard work of it, so we know it won't be an easy game tomorrow. But we have to turn up and do our business and see if we can get another result.
Harps won down in Waterford a few weeks back, but you have to go all the way back to the beginning of April for the last time that Harps managed a home victory in Balbofeig, and that was against Waterford, Ethan. So Harps are due a good result at home.
Yeah, the home form is important, and ours hasn't been too good, so that's something we need to try and fix quite quickly. And hopefully we can start to put that right tomorrow night. Like I said, it won't be easy, but it's a good opportunity for us, Like you said, it's our last home win, and hopefully we can try and get another win there tomorrow.
Yeah, because the thing is, the performances have been quite good in Balbofeig, and probably not getting the results that perhaps those performances deserve.
No, maybe not. But when we're raised full of chances, sometimes that happens. Like, we had a couple of good chances in a few of the games to maybe win the game or draw the game, and we haven't taken them. So when you're wasteful of chances, that's what happens. But we need to kind of be more conscious of that and try and be more clinical when we get the chances. Like you said, we play well, but sometimes we're not taking our chances when we get them.
Yeah, because a win can make an awful difference, can't it, Ethan? 3 points, and Derry City, Dundalk, those sides just above you, they haven't really managed to pull away, so there's that target of trying to catch them.
Yeah, it's not I wouldn't say it's panic stations yet or anything. We haven't had a home win, like you said, in a while, but I wouldn't say it's panic stations. I mean, we're a few wins off, the teams above us. We're possibly a few losses off the teams below us, but we're still in a good position to look up the table, which is always a positive thing for Harps. We're pretty much underdogs going into most seasons, so, we're still in an okay position, I think.
Yeah. And the good news is that at least there'll be a few more supporters there on Friday night. Ethan, I know fans were in for the games against Derry and Longford too. It must have been great to be finally being able to play in front of your own supporters.
Yeah, it's a good feeling. Our first couple of games were away. We played against the way to Shamrock Rovers, and they had their fans in and we weren't allowed any in. But it really is, it's great. When we got our first goal at home, when the fans were there, it's a good feeling.
Yeah, and it was, you got that goal, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, I got one against Derry. That was a great feeling. If you could pick a game to score in, it would be that, the derby. But unfortunately, we didn't win. But no, it's great to have the fans back, and it'd be nice to have a few more and, an extra bit of noise.
Okay, well, listen, you're back at Harps now, and a few changes at the club this week as well, Ethan. Some players leaving and a couple of new faces coming in. So perhaps that might shake things up a wee bit.
Yeah, you never know. Change can sometimes be good. The lads that have come in are settling in nicely, and they're good players, good lads. We do our best to make them feel at home, and hopefully they can, spur us on a bit. New blood in the team, get us going a bit. We'll see how it goes tomorrow.
That's Ethan Boyd, and we will of course have live updates from the first half and full second half commentary from the match tomorrow night between Van Harps and Waterford. Moving into the FAI Cup, and the qualifying round will be played this coming weekend, and two Ulster Senior League sides are both away from home against Leinster Senior League opposition. Bunnigie United travel to Maynooth University Town, while Coghill Celtic are off to St Mochta's. The fixture for Coghill will present them with their first competitive match since their final league game last year. In the lead-up to this weekend, the Inishowen outfit have been playing friendlies, where they have also bulked up on the player front, with it now seen as one of the strongest ever squads assembled at Coghill. Manager Gavin Cullen says it's a great game to prepare for the season ahead.
Obviously, it's very early in the season for us in terms of preparation, and where we're at is probably coming a bit early, but at the same time, it's been a great game to focus our minds on preparing for. And we've got the players, buying into it. They've been excellent the last few weeks. You can really see it ramping up towards the game in terms of training and in friendlies. So, look, we're looking forward to it. We're putting ourselves under no pressure going down there this week, because of the timing of it, and because it's exactly 12 months since we've played a competitive game. So, look, we've nothing to lose. We're not going to win the FA Senior Cup, that's for sure. So, like, anything we get out of this game will be a bonus at the weekend,
Yeah, but it would be nice to win on the road, so it would. And you've done that before against St Mochta's in this competition, haven't you?
We have, yeah. We beat St Mochta's in the FA Cup before. This is the third time we've played them. We played them twice in intermediate. They beat us twice in that, and we beat them in the last time we've played. So, look, there'll be nothing between the teams. They're a very, very good side. They're current FA intermediate champions. Currently the favourites to win the Leinster Senior League, apparently. So they're going to be strong,
Yeah. In relation to your squad, I know, Gavin, talking to you ahead of this game, a lot of change there. You've brought back a couple of household names for Coghill Celtic football, but you've brought in, there's been a huge influx of players under your squad for the new season, because you did win the title last year. You did feel that you were a bit light. Are you a much stronger unit now, are you, Gavin?
I believe so. Look, time will tell. There's no doubt on paper. It's early days saying that, but it's probably in terms of strength and depth, probably the best squad we've ever had. It's very exciting. It's interesting. There's a lot of energy, a lot of young legs. And training and stuff. We've brought in 10 players and held on to everybody from our squad from last season. So we've been delighted to how that went. And we knew we had to add, but what we've added is real quality and real competition for places. And it's going into this weekend. It's the toughest I've had it to actually select a squad of 18 or 20 to play in the squad. Never mind pick the team. Picking the team's probably easier than picking the squad, and that's sort of the depth that we have at the minute. Time will tell if we can bring that onto the pitch, to what we've been doing in training. But look, I'm excited and can't wait to see this group in action over the next season,
So the likes of Peter Doherty's back, Garvin Freeland's back. Give us an outline of maybe who the 10 players are, Gavin, and who you've added.
Right, so obviously Peter Doherty's back in Institute, and Garvin Freeland's back in Australia, two huge players. For any squad at any level. I've signed two goalkeepers, Daniel Houghton and Jamie Bell, both 21 years of age. A lot to prove, a lot of ability. In my opinion, both of them are more than capable of playing in the League of Ireland at some stage, and I hope they use us maybe as a stepping stone or a pathway to fulfil their potential. I've signed Finn McClure from Clondunny. He was with Derry, he was with Glengad last season. He's been excellent pre-season. He looks like a real player. We've brought on Corey McBride and Jack Doherty from Van Harps. Again, very exciting players, young, energetic, lots of ability, lots of technical ability, which again is, we're really looking forward to seeing how they fit in and get in and fight for their places, because they're up against some very good players. Like Peter's up against Oisin McColgan, Jason Breslin, Johnny Havlin, and OBD for centre half position. So he's not even guaranteed to play, which is good, and it'll be good for him as well. We've six or seven forwards in the squad. Likes of Lawrence Stone, Stephen Duffy, Mark Moran, all still there. Christy Faldara, Adam Duffy, and adding Garvin Field to that mix is really, really strength and depth, real quality. So look, it's up to the players, and I keep telling them it's not up to me who plays, it's up to the players who plays. You know, and that'll be interesting going forward. We've added Dara O'Connor and Keelan McColgan, but at the minute they've Gaelic commitments, so they won't be available for the weekend. But we're happy enough, like both the boys, and I can't wait to see them boys trying to get in the squad and team as well when they're available.
I think, Gavin, by the sound of things, you could be lining out two teams this season under the Cockhill Celtic banner, the way things are panning out, which is good for the club.
It is good for the club. We have a strong youth team that play in the National Premier Division, and the idea of that is having them strong, competitive at the top end of that league, and supplementing our squad and our squad players as well. So that's the plan. We train together as well, and in the last couple of years they've been doing very well in Inishowen, and that's expected to continue or improve. So again, for our squad players and for their better players to be pushing into the next our squad. We've benefited over the last year or so. We've had Keegan Higgerty, OBD, Adam Onish, Shanti, Michael Noon, all youth team players coming into the first team squad and doing well. So Bradley Callan as well. So look, it's working, and that's the intention of the depth of the squad, you know.
Yeah. And just ahead of the game on Saturday, any of those players carrying any knocks or injuries, Gavin?
Yeah, we've Johnny Havlin's probably out. Lawrence Tolan's training tomorrow night. The fitness test is probably 50-50, and Oisin McColgan's 50-50. So, three big players, but as I say, we have more than adequate replacements. But I'm hoping they're fit, I'm hoping they're available, and I'm hoping it adds to the selection headache if they are. But yeah, we'll know tomorrow evening.
Yeah. Listen, I know we're going into an FAA Cup weekend, Gavin, and just thinking as you rhymed off all these names and all these fantastic players that are going to be playing in the season ahead for Cockhill Celtic. Obviously, the Ulster Senior League title is your number one target, to win that yet again. But I have it in the back of my mind here that the FAA Intermediate Cup is a competition that I know that you wanted to do well in, and it's eluded you over the last number of years, Gavin. Yeah. Are you building towards that, are you?
No, not necessarily. Look, leagues, first and foremost, every season, like the best team wins the league consistently. We've been lucky enough to do that. The Intermediate Cup is brought up every year to us, and it is one of them things that it's probably brought up more by other people than it is with us within our group. But of course we like to win it. Of course we're good enough to win it. Whether we do win it or not, it's a cup competition. You can be knocked out at any stage. So it'll be absolute madness for me to plan a season around a cup competition. But look, when it comes round to that, and whoever we get in the first round, we'll be focused on that and every round after that. And look, I've no doubt in my mind we're good enough to win the competition. I don't think there'll be a stronger squad in the country than us. But again, it's a one-off. It's a way draws. It's refereeing decisions. You just don't know. So like, of course we're going to aim to do well in the competition, but first and foremost is the league, you know.
Yeah. Finally then, are you good enough to win on Saturday against St. Mochtas on the road?
Yeah, we are, yeah. There's no doubt. I think ideally it would have been another 6 weeks down the line or whatever, and we would have had a lot more competitive games played, and we would have been more ready. They've had their first league game last week, and they've had a good pre-season, more than us. So they're probably that way physically ahead of us. But look, 11, it's 11v11, and I'm not too sure if their 11 is better than our 11. So on the day, a couple of decisions, a bit of luck. Like, there's no reason why we can't go and win the game, you know.
That's Gavin Cullen. Well, Ulster Senior League runners-up Bunnygee United are also in action on Saturday in the qualifying round against Maynooth Town University in Kildare. Well, the Leinster Senior League already started. Bunnygee could be on the back foot before the game kicks off. as the Letterkenny club are still weeks from the start of their league campaign and have been playing numerous friendlies in a bid to get themselves match sharp. Speaking of Jeremy Doherty, Bunnegie manager Jason Gibson says they have nothing to lose come the weekend and that the preparations have been good for a game that is out of season.
It's out of season, all right, I suppose. I think it was September last year, maybe our last competitive match, cup final against Letterkenny. So probably not ideal timing, like. We're probably not going to get back into our season proper, maybe end of August, early September by the looks of it. So, but look, at the end of the day, when you're in the Senior Cup, you can't look at it as a distraction. It's just a big game for the club, so we're happy to be on it.
You're treating this game as, you know, with all the importance it deserves, because as you say, it's not often clubs from Donegal get a run in the FAI Senior Cup. And preparations going okay, Jason?
Yeah, going okay. We've done as best as we can. We've entered, you know, cup competitions and stuff, because at least you can get a competitive game more so than a friendly. Like, we had a good three matches and a good competitive standard in a cup in Derry. We've entered the cup locally here over at the community centre. We've, you know, had an in-house game, stuff like that. We have a friendly at home to Derrigvey tonight, which will be good opposition. So prepared as best we can, if you know what I mean, as I say. That's strange that you don't want to put them into full flowing pre-season, if you know what I mean, because if it doesn't go our way on Saturday, you're 7 or 8 weeks out again then from, you know, a competitive match again. So as I say, it's been okay.
Yeah. Both yourselves and Cockhill Celtic find yourselves up against Leinster Senior League opposition, and their season is actually up and running now at this stage.
Yeah, they started their season last weekend, which probably puts them a wee bit further down the road than us. Like, I mean, you know, if you could envisage maybe us going into this at the end of August and then are starting our season, it would be perfect timing. So you'd imagine they've done full pre-season, had their full squad in, and, you know, so probably a wee bit further down the line. And as I say, tough draws for us both. Like, if you look at, you know, Moctis and Maynooth's performances last year, like, they were in the top end of the Leinster Senior League. So when you're going away to that calibre of opposition, like, you know, it's going to be difficult. But, you know, we're doing not too bad, and, you know, we've played big matches over recent years. Like, as I say, you hopeful that we have enough players within the squad that can manage those big games. And a lot of times these games is about, you know, game management and staying in the game, making yourself difficult to beat. Like, so as I say, I'd be hopeful we'll do okay.
Yeah. And how is your squad then, Jason, in terms of players? Because I know you have lost a couple of experienced players from the team that did so well over the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, Ryan Rainey's obviously went to Finn Harps. It would be a big loss to us. Like, no point saying any different. And Eugene Ferry is, well, semi-retired, we call it. I keep hoping that he'll come out of retirement. But as I say, we've lost a couple of players. We've brought in a couple as well. So Some, as I say, have got good bits done. Like, you know, like Safonstey only came in on Sunday there and played his first, you know, 65, 70 minutes since last September. Packy Mealy's just on tonight, if you know what I mean. So, with them old heads, they'll be able to manage it okay. But, as I say, we're happy enough with the preparations, so.
Yeah. And I suppose going up to Maynooth, really, with nothing to lose, Jason?
No, exactly. Like, as I say, you know, it's kind of hard to do any work on them, because you're looking at maybe a completely different squad this year to what they had last year. Do you know, it's a long time since they've played competitively as well. We've done wee bits on them and stuff like that. You just know that, like, if you're going to a top Senior League side, that it's going to be difficult. Like, they're going to have lots of quality, and as I say, you have to match up to that.
Bunnegie United manager Jason Gibson. There's also a couple of local soccer games this weekend, Ulster finals actually. The Junior Shield final is on Saturday at McGinn Park in Buncrana, with Quiggy's Point Swifts taking on Glen Carr. And then on Sunday, it's the Ulster Junior Cup final with Alia taking on Cavan Town. And that one has been played in Gorta Keegan at 1:30 on Sunday afternoon. Moving now to Gaelic games. It's a huge weekend for the three Northwest counties in the Ulster Senior Football Championship. The action starts with Tyrone against Cavan at Hayley Park in Omagh. Tyrone, of course, got into the game off the back of that hammering in the league semi-final at the hands of Kerry, while Cavan have been relegated from the league. But Cavan, of course, are the current Ulster champions, having defeated Donegal in last year's decider. Donegal, of course, are on a journey this year, trying to reclaim that Anglo-Celt Cup. They've already disposed of Down, but there's a big derby on Sunday in Ballybuffet against Rory Gallagher's Derry. I look forward to both of those games with Martin McHugh today. So, Martin, looking forward to what's set to be a bumper weekend of Gaelic Games action in the Ulster Senior Championship. All three northwest counties involved. The best scenario is that two are going to go through to the semi-finals. We're going to have to wait and see which two it will be. Our feature game here in Highland on Sunday is Donegal against Derry, and I think it's fair to say we're going to be expecting, well, Donegal is going to be expecting more of a test than what Down presented the last time to Declan Bonner's side.
Yeah, so as I say, there's no doubt about that, that it'll be a far bigger test than Down. You know, you're very disappointed, you know, in the Down performance the last day. You know, I mean, knowing Down teams in the past and everything else, you expect a proper bigger fight and everything else. I mean, the game was over at the first water break. Basically, it was over. You knew, being at the game, that the game was over, that, you know, no matter whenever, Donegal, I suppose, what happened came out of that game was there weren't much word of the match. It was all the talking point was Michael Murphy's injury and everything else. But, you know, Down, you know, I'd have to say, very disappointing. But, yeah, Derry, it's a local derby. I remember back in my time, that was the big team, was Donegal and Derry were the big rivals in the late 80s and early 90s, and great rivalry. And they're coming back. I think Derry have been in five of the last six minors Ulster finals. They've been in five of them. Yeah. And, you know, they've won it this year as well. The under 17 this year, they've won it. So, yeah, Derry definitely. There's a buzz about Derry. I know that, you know, the successful club team in Slochneil as well, but there's a big, big buzz in Derry at the minute. And, you know, their confidence. They haven't been beaten in the league. They haven't lost a match of all the matches they played, the five games they played, they won them all. So, yeah, coming with a lot of confidence, and definitely be a better test than Down for Donegal.
Yeah, and before we look at Donegal, they've been scoring high, Derry, which hasn't sort of been what we've seen Derry do over the last number of years. And Joe Brawley said the exact same thing that you said, that they were coming back. They're improving, Derry, so they are. They need to get back to a position where they can contend in Ulster. Are they far away from that, Martin, or do they still have a bit to go? Or maybe are we looking too much at Derry because it was Division 3 that they were playing in, and there's a huge gulf between Division 3 and Division 1?
It's great to hear Joe giving credit to Derry. He's normally giving out about them and not there. So, I think, you know, you've given me the stats here, and 4 is 688 in the five games they played, and against is 344. I mean, just double scores and that there. And, you know, they're scoring really well. Now they're playing, you know, they play a system of football that everybody's playing. Everybody's trying to follow, suppose, the Dublin model. That's what everybody follows. And they're definitely playing that type of football, you know, and, But they've played against teams in the lower divisions, and, you know, with no, say, McKenna Cup or anything else they got there, or any other, you know, they haven't played against the Division 1 team. Now they're coming up against the first Division 1 team they've played in Donegal. So it's, you know, suppose the pressure's off them, all the pressure's on Donegal, because they've achieved what they probably wanted to achieve for the year, everything else a bonus. But in saying that, we know Derry team's coming, and, you know, as I said, you know, they've been scoring well, 688, as we said, in the five games. And Shane McGuigan's been a big scorer. He's scored like 234, one penalty and 19 frees and one sideline. You know, look at that. And then Niall Loughlin's the other good scorer, each of them left foot and right foot. And Niall Loughlin scored 116. And, you know, the big one I was just looking at here when you give me these stats is the midfield. Emmett Bradley's got 7 points in the middle of the field from play, and Conor Glass has got 5. Now, you can say the opposition wasn't as good, but that's 12 points from play coming from the middle of the field. There are not many teams and Ireland that would have that. You know, Dublin wouldn't even have that. That's coming from their midfield. It was James McCarthy and Brian Fenton.
But so, it's back to the point, they're playing Division 3 teams, Martin. Yeah, they'll not get as much room on Sunday against Donegal as what they had in the games in their league.
Yeah, you're spot on there. Well, please God, they don't anyway. Yeah. You know, but they're two good footballers, and they've got a very strong midfield, and them two players. And, you know, Conor Glass wins a lot of dirty ball in that area, and he's very successful at fetching in that area where Emmett Bradley likes to cover the ground and get on the end of balls when it mattered. You know, and he scores big scores. Emmett Bradley there in the middle of the field. But, you know, we look at it; they're based on which is not a bad thing from Derry's point of view, on two clubs, one very successful in Slochneil and one, you know, have won minors and everything else in under 21, but haven't been successful yet as Glenn Mahara, haven't been successful yet at senior level. But there's 12 players that could play a part on Sunday between the two teams. And each of them have six there, you know, and 10 of them at least I'll play, you would think. 8 of them definitely start, and maybe 9 of them starting, because Karen McCaig is actually fit again, back playing, and Brendan Rodgers. So you expect them to, maybe Rodgers especially will start. They could start Karen McCaig as well. So I think it's a big, you know, two clubs, it's strong, that base of two clubs and everything else. So yeah, look what they're coming. Derry football's coming. They're definitely, and it's good to see them back there. It's great to see there's a bit of, you know, there's pride back in them and everything else. And they seem to want him in the past. Derry were always, there was a lot of trouble at Derry club football and a lot of arguments and fights at Derry club football. And they weren't, you know, going to games. There were probably tension in the dressing room. That seems to be gone now, and they seem to be really getting on well. And, you know, Chrissy McCaig is leading them really well. You know, I'm just the other stat to see here. You know, they're lucky maybe in a way with injuries and everything else. 12 players have played in the 5 games to date. Now, normally not many other teams could say that. So they have maybe a smaller squad than other teams and everything else, but they're lucky enough with injuries so far. Now they're starting to get players back from injury as well.
Yeah. Let's focus on Donegal. Huge boost from the outset. We've been told this week Michael Murphy is fit to play, and it's the sort of game you're going to need him in, Martin, is it?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, there's a lot of ex-Donegal footballers out there saying we're not going to need him against Derry and everything else. I think that's, I don't like to hear that, to tell you the truth, people saying that and everything else, because I think, you know, you have to respect for every team. And all we have to say is we took our eye off the ball against Cavan last year. And maybe we were looking at Dublin ahead and we didn't have to do this or didn't do that. We found out that we had to do everything, and we should have everything right, and we should have prepared right for it and had it right and get over the line. So it's the same thing with this thing here. If Michael Murphy is fit, we're definitely going to need him. And, you know, what he does is he takes pressure off the other players and everything else. Particularly the word is that Oran McNeillis and Oisin Gallen are back as well. So that's all great news and good news that we look like we have a clean bill of health. And it's not a bad time to be getting that clean bill of health. And hopefully that Michael Murphy is fit. I mean, the medical people and Michael Murphy himself. There's nobody knows better than the player himself if he's fit to go. And I take it, you know, in the down game, he would have said himself, I'm ready to go. He was going well in the week of training and everything else. Unfortunately, you know, what he picked up, but hopefully it wasn't too bad. Yeah, look, I believe we're going to need Michael Murphy, and hopefully he's fit to play.
Yeah, it's a huge game. What about the matchups, Martin, on this one? Because they're going to be key, so they are.
Yeah, they're going to be key, and you expect Rory Goller, who knows Donegal ends it out, that it'll definitely be Michael Murphy if he plays, Paddy McBrearty, Ryan McHugh, Owen Van Galler, these players are going to definitely be, you know, they're going to be targeted, or they're going to be players that he's going to try to match up with. And, you know, we look at it, if Brendan Rodgers plays, you expect Brendan Rodgers and Chrissy McCaig, one of them will pick up Michael Murphy, another will pick up Paddy McBrearty if Michael Murphy plays. And looking at that, the other matchup, I think, and I was at the Derry game in Croke Park, the Offaly game in Croke Park, I was at it, and Gareth McInnes, the centre-back, was the best player in the field. By a long shot, the best player in the field. I think Donegal have to mark him. They have to put a player on him that's going to stay with him and mark him. Can't afford to allow him. He's got a lot of pace. He controlled the whole match, particularly the first half when it mattered. Emmett Bradley and Conor Glass in the middle of the field. The midfield battle is going to be important. I know Donegal like to play with Hugh McFadden maybe dropping deep to sweep it. It's important. And I know we put Oran McFadden Ferry to midfield against Down on Keelan Mooney. It's important that we get that midfield sector right. And the other thing that's going to be very important is the kickouts. Now, Oran Lynch, who plays in goals for Derry, is doing really well. He's actually maybe an outfield player, played outfield, now turned into a good goalkeeper. I know we've a top goalkeeper in Sean Patton, but the kickouts are becoming very, very important. We saw that even Oisin against Down, and even in the games he's played to date, the kickouts are very important.
Yeah. Ryan McHugh was the man pulling the strings and controlling things the last day and Down. You mentioned Gareth McInnes done it for Derry. Is it going to be a job for Ryan again on Sunday, or is there somebody else going to step up to the plate and be able to orchestrate things, Martin?
Well, I'd say he'll be. That Derry will have a player to mark Ryan probably, but they could have, you right, Ryan could have maybe given it, Ryan McHugh could be given a job maybe to mark, maybe Gareth McInnes even to push him up. And we don't know what's going to happen there. The management, that'll be, there's a lot of tactics and everything we discussed and everything else. But yeah, I think that, you know, the game against Down, you know, even though it wasn't that competitive, it's going to help, you know, like Steve McMenamin, giving him that extra game, getting another game under his belt, you know, back after injury and everything else, you know. And I think the big plus in the whole thing with Donegal is that you would feel that, you know, Donegal, you would feel by a squad of a better squad than Derry, because, you know, players, and that's the important thing. The squad becomes very, very important, and that, you know, things are competitive and everything else, and that'll make a big, big difference. And I think that, you know, as I said, you know, Ryan McHugh probably going to be marked. We'll say, as I said, Gareth McInnes will be marked. You'll have Owen Van Galler not want, Derry will not want him running up the field. And then they'll have, like, Brendan Rodgers, if he plays, could be pushing forward from the half. I remember a famous game that Kilcar played Sloughneagh, And Brendan Rodgers played really, really well. Paddy McBurney got 10 points, but Brendan Rodgers played well that day. So that could be back to that battle again Sunday. So there's a lot of matchups and everything else. But, you know, you feel that the home advantage, you would hope, Oisín, wouldn't make a difference. That Donegal have a good record in Ballybuffet. They're hard to beat in Ballybuffet and everything else. So you'd hopefully that home record would make a difference.
Yeah, and you're expecting a much tighter game, are you?
Oh, it's going to be a lot tighter. I know people are saying, but there, you know, the Division 3 and everything else, the test and everything else. I know Ulster football, you know. I know it. I won myself when I was playing in 1983. I think we won the Ulster Championship from Division 3. I don't think it matters in Ulster. You know, we saw Cavan won it last year and went to Division 4. This is going to be a tough match. This is a local derby. Derry have a lot of good footballers, and it's been proven at club level and proven, you know, how much they've improved even since last year. And they pushed Armagh to a point last year in the Championship, and they've improved immensely since that there. So, yeah, it's going to be a big battle. It's going to be a tough game, and it's going to be a good game. And whoever comes through it, it'll stand for them. You know, if you don't pick up on injuries or red cards, it'll stand for where either team comes through against either Tyrone or Cavan.
Right. Speaking of Tyrone or Cavan, we'll go to the Ulster champions first of all, Martin. And the 6 months after winning the Anglo-Celt Cup has turned out to be one of the most disappointing in the history of Cavan, after hitting the highs of winning Ulster and now the lows of relegation. What's going on in the Breffni County ahead of this championship encounter? Can they get themselves together for this game?
Yeah, that's a big question. Oisín, you know, they went from being the best team in Ulster to the worst team in Ulster in a period of, 7 months or whatever. And, you know, disappointing. But I was down in Cavan during the week. They're confident. It's funny. They say about them, they're confident. They feel, you know, they've let the supporters down and let themselves down, and they're really going to be up for this match. And, you know, I think they'll put it up to Tyrone, because, you know, Tyrone got that big hammering in Kerry and everything else. And, you know, it depends on, I know Cal McShane's back for Tyrone will make a big difference. And he's got a couple of games under his belt. They played Roscommon in a challenge game, you know, and I think they played Cork in a challenge game. So got them couple of games under his belt make a difference. You expect Tyrone to come through, but Cavan are confident. Thomas Galligan had, I think, a broken hand, but he's back playing, and expect to see him inside in the full forward lane, and they will try to target the Tyrone full back lane, high balls and everything else. I wouldn't rule Cavan out. It's very hard to see them coming back from it, but there's definitely a sting in them, and there has to be a sting in them and a kick in them. And I know the people at Cavan are very disappointed, supporters and everything else, and I would say nobody's given them a chance, which is not a bad way. But sure, nobody gave them a chance in last year's Ulster final either, including the Cavan. Most of the Cavan people didn't give them a chance. So I wouldn't rule them out, but it's going to take a massive performance from them. And Tyrone are, you know, you have to think there'll be a kick in them as well after the Kerry game. So listen, I expect Tyrone to be good enough to come through, particularly, I think, Cal McShane back's a big plus for Tyrone.
Yeah. Is there much pressure around this game for Tyrone, Martin? Do you think it's been heaped on, obviously, the new management? They have to get over the line. The league ended badly. It's a new era for Tyrone football. There's high expectation. All that pressure can get to a group at times, so it can.
Yeah, and it's, you know, and the big thing is, it's you know, a new management team and how they're coping and everything else. Joint managers, it's always something, it's different, you know, it is different and everything else. You know, there are not many of them, and a lot of them in the past didn't work. It's not an easy situation now. I know they came from maybe doing it at underage level or whatever. It's a lot easier at underage level to do it. It's a difficult enough thing to do. And then you've, you know, the backup and everything else. But we know Tyrone, you know, when they're the most dangerous, when they're down nearly. And you know, they have a lot of quality players. They have a lot of players, Tyrone, and, you know, you still, you know, the Kerry thing was a wake-up call for them, a big wake-up call. Suppose they didn't expect to beat Kerry anyway. Then they got a couple of challenge games, and they have a lot of quality players. And, you know, the likes of Matty Donnelly, Peter Hart, we know them all, Hamshi. These players are big players. And then you have McShane, you know, is a big one. Then McKenna, Conor McKenna, maybe has got that extra year under his belt. Look, I expect Tyrone are favourites every year, as you said, for the Ulster Championship. They're always favourites. There's a lot of pressure on them, you know, and there's a bit of pressure on the management, surely, because look at how successful that Mickey Hart has been and everything else with them and everything else. So it's a change. It's a big change. And, you know, you don't really know until Championship. And we'll know far more about them after Saturday to see how they perform.
Yeah. So Tyrone and Donegal, you're going for to come through these two games at the weekend?
Yeah, I am. I'll go for Tyrone. I think Tyrone will have too much, especially with the game in Omagh. Breffni, I'll say that. I think Donegal is going to be a big match, a tough match, but I still think that, I think the fact that Orrin McNeilis, I just feel that I know what the quality has. I think if we get him off the bench and he's good enough for him, I think he could make the difference. I think the bench could make the difference for Donegal. Now, Derry will probably tell you they have a good bench as well, but I just think Donegal bench make a difference. And, it's a big year for the Donegal, for the management and the team, you know, after what happened last year. This is a big year for everybody. So hopefully, you know, big performance and get ready to move on. And it'll be a battle. But I think, yeah, I think Donegal will be about 3 points.
Yeah. Just one more question. Do you think whoever comes through this side of the draw is going to be in a stronger position come the Ulster final? Is the potential winner out of this side, Martin?
Well, people say the favourites are going to come out of this side. You think that still, I think Tyrone are favourites and Donegal are second favourites, but you know, a lot of people weren't very impressed with Monaghan, with these young players they put in and everything else, and they're going well. And I was at the Armagh game last Sunday, and Armagh were very, very impressive, particularly when they pushed up on Antrim in the second half. So, look at it. It's very open. Ulster has evened off completely. And any one of these teams we're talking about, I mean, the Ulster champions are Cavan. You know, you have Tyrone, your favourites. You have Derry come in good position to feel that they can win it. You have Monaghan and Armagh feel they won in Donegal. It's a good situation. It was the way it used to be in the past. There's not a wild lot between any of them teams on any given day. So, you know, Monaghan and Cavan will be a massive semi-final. It's a big semi-final because both them teams, you know, one of them need to get to a final for different reasons and everything else, but that'll be a big semi-final, a good semi-final. So I think whatever way it goes, Oisín, we'll have two very good semi-finals. Maybe it's our own wee battle up in Ulster and everything else. I don't think we're as good as we were in the past, but we'll have two good semi-finals and a good final. And the big thing this year about winning Ulster is, in my opinion, you avoid Dublin. You'll be playing probably Kerry, people say, but whoever wins it, everyone's also be playing Kerry in a semi-final. And no, we saw, you know, we'll not leave the Tyrone game out of it completely. I was down in Kerry League game, but you saw Donegal played Kerry that time in Croke Park, and you know the teams go to Croke Park to play Kerry, and you give yourself a fighting chance in such whoever gets that situation, and it could be any of them teams I'm after naming can get through. So I'm looking forward to it because I think we didn't have many good games so far, very poor matches, but I think from now on we'll have a good Ulster Championship.
Martin McHugh looking at Tyrone against Cavan and Donegal against Derry at Healy Park in Omagh at 4:30 is the Tyrone match. We'll have updates there from Francis Mooney. And then myself and Brendan Kilcoyne will have full live match commentary from 4 o'clock from Ballybuffet, Donegal against Derry on Sunday. Other Gaelic games action this weekend. It's quarterfinal Friday in the Ulster Under 20 Football Championship. There's also a derby there involving Donegal. They take on Tyrone at Healy Park in Omagh tomorrow night. It starts at 8 o'clock, while Derry will play Monaghan in another quarterfinal. The winners of those two games will meet in the semi-final. Tyrone will play Donegal as well in the Under 17 Hurling Celtic Challenge this weekend. It's in Strabane on Saturday. Starts at 2 o'clock. While Derry are in the All-Ireland Minor Football Championship semi-final, they're up against Meath in Newry, and it throws in at 3. On the hurling front, Donegal will look to get back on track in the Nicky Rackard Cup on Saturday in Carrigan-Shannon when they take on Leitrim. After the opening defeat to Mayo, this game presents the opportunity for Donegal to make a semi-final against Tyrone in 2 weeks' time. Donegal manager Mickey McCann says they have to forget about the Mayo defeat and manage the next game properly.
We're a bit disappointed leaving O'Donnell Park action the last day. The 69 minutes gone, we're 4 points up and they lose it, then, you know, it's kind of our own fault and unforced errors in defence, you know, and we probably up front we missed a lot of chances. So a lot of the performance was good in terms of work rate and possession and everything. We just didn't see it out in our game management in the last 5 minutes, let us down. But look, we can't dwell on that. As we said, there's a lot more hurling to be played whatever the result that day. So we just get our house on order this week, Oisin, and try to get over Leitrim, you know, and we know Tyrone came through the little group stage as winners. So if we get over Leitrim, we'll be heading to Omagh in a fortnight's time in the semi-final. So look, just all thoughts on this week and making sure that it's a real banana skin for Oisin, but we just be not to be complacent, go down there with the right attitude and come out there with results, you know.
Yeah, it's all about how you manage this situation. In fairness to Donegal, you'd be seen as raging hot favourites. Like, Mayo beat Leitrim by about 20 points, and you guys would obviously see yourselves as at least the same standard as that, Mickey. So it's about managing the situation properly and just sort of getting out of there with the result.
Yeah, I suppose that's a complete different mindset. When we're playing Division 2B all year, we're underdogs in most games and trying to rise to the occasion and compete against the higher standard teams. You're up in that division now, it's our way about. We're going to be hot favourites, and Leitrim's got nothing to lose. But look, we just can't be complacent. Go in there with the right attitude and the same intensity we brought against Mayo, and that should be enough to see us out of that game, you know. But you never know in hurling, Oisin, if a couple of soft goals or anything like that can happen, you know. So we'll really, really be switched on and bring the right attitude, Oisin, and make sure that we come out of there a result, because it's a big plus for us if we can get straight to the semi-final instead of into a quarter-final, you know, and coming through the hard way the other direction, you know.
Yeah. How you fixed in squad-wise this week, Mickey? Because it just wasn't really going in your favour ahead of the Mayo game. Jared Gilmore was missing. Park Doherty was missing. Conor O'Grady was suspended. And then you were hit with Danny Cullen just before the game got underway as well. So how you fixed on the personnel front? Do you have many of them back, do you, Mickey?
Well, we're going to have Jared Gilmore and Conor O'Grady back, who was suspended, and Jared's injuries cleared up well and trained over the last week and a half. So with them two back, Danny's very doubtful. Look, if it was a one-off game or knockout, we'd probably be playing him, Ashton, but he'd be held in reserve probably for Saturday. And serious, that he's a big risk. Maybe it wouldn't be 70 minutes in him, so he'd be in the 26. But we'll just have to see how the game's going and all. So we'll probably, with Jared back and Connor, like, we're probably a bit stronger maybe than we were against Mayo. So look, that's a plus for us. But as Danny goes, he's a massive loss around the middle field for us. So, but it's just taking that chance. If it was a one-off game, we would take a chance on him. But we've got to maybe be careful with him, you know, and another week can make all the difference with him.
And I'm sure as you heard earlier in the sport, organisers of the Tokyo Olympics have agreed to hold the event without any spectators under a COVID-19 state of emergency in Japan. The president of the Games said the situation is regrettable and has apologised to people who had bought tickets. Coronavirus cases in Tokyo have hit a two-month high a fortnight before the start of the Games. We have, of course, been speaking to a number of those from Donegal who are heading out to Japan and been part of the 2020 Tokyo Olympic Games. Among them, on the badminton court front, is Daniel McGee. He's the High Performance Director of Badminton Ireland, and he's also their team lead for Japan. Nate Nguyen is the only Irish player competing in badminton, and the team is also involves as coach Davis Elfram. Now, Daniel's siblings, Sam and Chloe McGee, had hopes of making it to the Games, but couldn't get the high-end results needed to break into the Olympic placings. Daniel spoke to me earlier this week as he prepared himself for the plane journey, which is tomorrow Friday. He hopes Nat will have a special moment at the Games, which will put the spotlight on the sport of badminton once again. Listen, Daniel, exciting time ahead. You're about to board a plane on Friday to head away to Japan. We've been waiting a year for this event to come round. There's been a long delay and stuff, but you're almost there. You're nearly there.
Yeah, almost there. It's been a long wait and a crazy year with everything going on with the pandemic and the COVID situations that we've had to deal with. But thankfully now we're coming close to the finishing line, and we'll be setting off soon on Friday.
Yeah, I'm just going to touch obviously on the Donegal interest that pre-Olympics was Chloe and Sam, and we were all rooting for them, and that we were hoping that your family members, your siblings, will be able to get over the line and make it, but it didn't work out for them, which was unfortunate. And listen, they had an absolutely brilliant year badminton wise, but with things being so tight, just when it came to the crunch at the very end, they couldn't get over the line.
Yeah, you know, the guys got themselves in a fantastic position and got really close towards the end. You know, really good results at All England, European Games this year. Unfortunately, the final three qualification events, which Sam had talked to you about, you know, trying to reach the quarterfinals of those, they were cancelled due to COVID. So with the last three qualification events being cancelled, they just missed out on the final hurdle.
Huge disappointment for them, but Chloe, of course, was looking to get into what would have been a fourth Games. Is there a possibility that next time around in Paris, given that it's not 4 years, it's 3 years, that maybe the duo could team up again, or is it something that they're in discussions with at the moment?
Yeah, I think Chloe, having done three cycles and, you know, has played as long as what she's had, I don't think another Games is in the back of her mind at the minute. With Sam, he is still young enough and his level is still right there, you know, and he's one of our most experienced and most decorated players. So if he went for it and decides that he wants to push on, there's an opportunity there and he'll have to team up with someone new. But if he feels that now's the right time to stop, he's done everything in his career that he can be very proud to leave it there. But he has a few decisions to make now if he wants to make one more push at it.
Yeah, well, hopefully so. We'll see what happens down the line with Sam and indeed Chloe. But you've got one athlete who's heading out there, Nat Nguyen, and he qualified a number of weeks ago for it. It's going to be a big occasion for him. First time there, 21 years of age, Daniel.
Yeah, really impressive qualification period for Nat. He finished 26 out of 42 in a qualification race, so well inside the qualification mark, and a massive achievement for him at only 21 years of age to qualify for his first Olympics as one of the youngest players that will compete in it. But not only that, but to be so far inside the qualification mark.
Yeah. What are you expecting of him, or what is he expecting from the competition? What's his realistic target now as he heads for the plane?
Well, if you ask Nat, he'll say he's there to win it. But you've got to be realistic with your expectations as well. And we've set a goal for him to reach last 16 in his first Olympics. And that's a high-end goal, because he'll be placed in a group with a seeded player who'll be one of the top 16 players ranked in the world, and then potentially one other player that will be around the same ranking as himself. So for him to achieve last 16, he'll have to create an upset. But we've seen him do that earlier in the year when he reached last 16 All England's, beating Srikanth Kadambi, who's number 13 in the world. So he is capable of an upset, but he will need to do that to reach last 16.
Yeah, interesting to note this week as well. A lot of talk around the Olympics, and you know, Patsy McGonigal, Patsy had said that it takes 10 years to make a champion. So Nat, given his young age, he's got a lot of time there to come around and get what he wants to do and win something. So he does, Daniel.
Absolutely. Like the next Olympics, Nat will be in an even better physical, mental preparation for that. He'll be a lot stronger and he'll be a lot more experienced. He can go into this Olympics very free as an underdog and someone who's done really well to reach the mark on this occasion. So we have, you know, long-term goals for him for 2024, 2028. But this one will be really, really important for him to have that experience of what an Olympics Games is like and still go there with the ambition to create some upsets.
Yeah. Davis Ephraim, who's his coach, is also going out. So the three of you guys representing Badminton Ireland. But from your own perspective as the high performance director of Badminton Ireland, you've got a huge role there. What is it you want to take out of this Olympics for the sport, Daniel?
Yeah, I think every Olympics, it's important to have a representation there for your sport and to try and create some moments that's going to inspire people to play your sport. And we've had that, you know, very much with Chloe being the first ever Irish athlete to win matches at the Olympics, where she won a game in Beijing and she went on and win again in London. And then we had that famous moment of Scott Evans in Rio where he took off the shirt and it started to train the full Evans. So these moments, you know, attract people to the sport. And when you're maybe a lower profile sport like badminton, you know, you have to take advantage of these big stages to promote the game. And thankfully, through Chloe, through Scott, and even Sonia McGinn back in Sydney, we've been able to, you know, boost the profile of our sport and bring members in that way and increase the profile. So it's really important that way.
What are you looking forward to most about Japan this summer?
I want to just go there and, you know, absorb the culture and absorb the Olympic Games experience. But also, you know, we're very much focused on our role within the sport, that we want to go out there and achieve results that we haven't achieved before. Last Olympics, we reached last 16. If we can do that again or even push a little bit further, that would be a big, big statement for our sport. So that's the goal, is to keep progressing forward. If it doesn't come, then we have to make sure that come the next cycle that we're even more prepared and even more ready to get these big level results.
Yeah, I don't want to be too negative on this, but it is the hot topic around Japan and the Olympics. Are you worried about the COVID situation over there, Daniel?
I don't think so, because the amount of work and effort and protocol that's involved, I know even within our own team structure, it's not going to be like London. London was like a party festival type Olympics, everybody mixing, everybody enjoying the experience. This time it's everybody keeping within their own bubble, following protocol, regular daily testing, not mixing with the Japanese public, using their own private transport, and staying within the Olympic Village bubble itself. So it should be a safe games in that terms for both the Japanese public and for the Olympic athletes and personnel that are taking part. And hopefully that we'll see, you know, the boost that sport gives when you get to see it on TV and, you know, get people getting behind their home nation. Hopefully that will give Japan a pickup and they'll buy into the games a little bit more.
Yeah. Just finally then, you're always a proud Donegal man when you be globe trekking around the world, and it's going to be a very, very similar case for you now when you hit Tokyo, so it is, Daniel.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you can take the man out of Donegal, but you can't take Donegal out of the man. You know, it's we're notorious wherever we go for being a bit of fun and, you know, a bit of optimism. And, you know, I hope to bring that Donegal spirit along with, you know, Mark English and the rest of the Donegal contingent that's going to be there. So fingers crossed we can achieve some good results and put Donegal on the map again.
There you go. That's Daniel McGee looking ahead to his trip to Japan for the Olympics. We will be continuing our series of Donegal Olympians this coming weekend. After 5 on Saturday Sport, we'll be hearing from Mark English, Eilish Flanagan, and also Patsy McGonigal, of course, former Ireland team manager. And the current Ireland athletics team manager is Teresa McDade. She's in Japan as we speak. She left earlier in the week. I spoke to her before she departed Letterkenny, and we'll be playing that interview in full just after 3 o'clock on Sunday Sport as well. And that's it from another edition for The Score tonight. I hope you enjoyed the programme. If you missed any of it, you can, of course, jump over to HighlandRadio.com. All the content is available there. We'll have our next sport tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news. Until then, have a very good evening.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Cash for Clubs at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. The new loyalty scheme that rewards your club every time you shop at michaelmurphysports.ie.